Hi, everybody. Welcome once again. It's officially the holiday season, and I'm so happy to be here.
I developed this really bizarre, I mean, maybe not bizarre at this point, right? But I developed this obsession with book-related content when I was isolating, when I had COVID last year. And, you know, there's amazing creators who make content about books, and they talk about books and they make you want to read them. And it's just so fascinating because when I was a teenager, I would know about the cool books from Tumblr. You know, like Tumblr was like my source of inspiration for my reading list. And those teen novels were at the top of my reading list. And I still have those teen novels in my bookshelf somewhere. And I mean, that's where it's kind of, yeah. And, you know, and now that I look at these creators and like this content genre, it just makes me happy because I keep consuming it. And I'm like, it's amazing that there's people who make you want to read and people who like just inspired you to read, because I feel like many of us associate reading with school or assignments, or, you know, I studied literature at uni, so also, you know, yeah, to like reading classics and like boring stuff or things that you would not normally pick by yourself at the bookstore. So seeing this content really, I just love it. So I'm just going to be talking about a few of my favorite books of the year. I was thinking it's been 2 years since then, but I remember once I was at this literature class and there was like a guest lecturer. She was an author. She was an author. Ah, I can't pronounce this the other way. Author. Yeah. Okay. So she was an author. My accent's all over the place. So she was an author and she made us, she gave us like this amazing prompt, kind of like your own book history prompt, you know, like I work a lot with journaling prompts and everything, but then like she gave us this prompt and I have not stopped thinking about it. And she pretty much asked us, she was like, think of your book history, of your literature history, you know, like what's the baggage? What does it look like? Make a timeline. Where does the meaning of storytelling come from? Like what stories made you, you know? So I was really fascinated by that because going back in time, asking myself, why do I like what I like, you know, in terms of like literature, in terms of film, in terms of everything that I consume, content wise, it was really fascinating. And I remember sharing it with one of my friends from class, and it was so special seeing everybody's like timeline and seeing how to some extent there was a lot of influence from those texts that we would consume early on in our childhood, in our teenage. So yeah, it's quite special. And so today I'm coming with a few of my picks, and I truly mean to make this as accessible as possible, as easily and digestible as it can be. So going back in time with this kind of like little exercise that she prompted, I remembered that one of my happiest memories as a child was going book shopping with my mom. We would go to Coyoacan, a neighborhood in Mexico City, and we would grab hot chocolate and then we would go book shopping. We would go to different bookstores that I still visit today. And yeah, it was quite special. I always had kind of like, I think one of the reasons why I developed a lot of interests in different areas was because my mom was, you know, like she always let me buy books about anything that I wanted to read about. I remember, I mean, I still have them, but I remember I had this collection of like, you know, like dinosaur books and like space and like, you know, geography and like science. And then I would have children's books and like some cute little short novels and short stories and then these DIY books of like make your own paper dolls and whatnot, you know what I mean? Like kind of like a wide range of genres. So I was never really subjected to choose one single thing to focus on. So I think there was always this hunger to like learn more and know more about something. And I know that's not everybody's case. Actually, I think my case was just truly lucky, and I'm so grateful because my mom would always tell me that books were an investment, and she would get them for me, you know. And it wasn't until I grew up that I realized that books are actually pricey. The books are actually, you know, they would make a great gift because it's not like you would just go into a bookstore and you would grab like 10 or 15 books that you want. So it's holiday season and, you know, books are a great gift. So also, if something resonates with you or if you think that somebody's going to enjoy one of these books, then please go ahead. Maybe a fourth of my book collection right now is sitting in New Zealand at my friend's place. And that kind of physically hurts me. Just thinking of the books that I have in there, which have been the books that I have very consciously collected since the beginning of my 20s, kind of hurts me because I just have so much love for those books. I think I mostly have been collecting secondhand books because in New Zealand, books are really expensive, like brand new books from the bookstore. I always loved going to the bookstore and grabbing poetry books from like local writers and local poets because that was the only way you would find them. You know, they were like freshly published and, you know, they were sitting at the bookstore. But besides that, like classics or truly anything else, I would find secondhand, and it kind of gave it a new meaning and like an extra layer of that would make me feel successful at finding a really nice copy of something. So yeah, you know, if you are a book lover, I would definitely encourage you to think of your book baggage or your book history. It's truly a really fascinating and interesting concept and something that you can apply to film, to truly anything, because everything that we consume, especially when we're young, kind of molds the way that we think, kind of molds our beliefs, and that's where we realize where some things come from. And we can even choose if we want to keep feeding those narratives. I think it's truly, truly fascinating how we incorporate those narratives into our own beings. So without further ado, let's get started, shall we? My first book in my list is, this was my top 2022. This was my top 2022 book and my top 2023 book. Probably not the top, but definitely stands amongst that. And my friends know, like, they must be tired of hearing this because I talk about it all the time. But This Is Your Mind on Plants by Michael Pollan is truly one of the best books that I've read. And I'm just fascinated by Michael Pollan. I love him so much. I adore him. If I could have a conversation with anybody right now, dead or alive, it wouldn't, well, maybe not dead, but, you know, alive, it would be Michael Pollan. I think he's incredible and he's so smart and so clever. And I think his books mostly, but I'm going to talk about specifically about this one. This book just beautifully weaves in history and science and sociopolitics and culture in such a unique way. It's such an amazing and comprehensive way of writing about substances and how they impact your brain, like how they personally would impact one's brain, but also how they intervene collectively in a culture, in a country. This is a fascinating book. It's really entertaining. It's not very dense like other books about the brain or about science. And he's an amazing writer. I just really love his narrative and his way of telling stories. He's an amazing storyteller. So This Is Your Mind on Plants. It's an amazing read that I would recommend to every single person in this planet. Especially if you are coffee lovers, it's truly fascinating knowing how caffeine, you know, where the habit of drinking coffee came from, where it comes from, how it impacts your brain. It's honestly fascinating. Next on the list, we have Twilight. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm actually, okay, so I have it in my shelf in front of me. And I pulled it out as a joke, but honestly, I read Twilight this year, and I know I'm really late to the trend, but I'm probably 13 years late. I read Twilight this year and I really enjoyed it. I read it in Spanish, so I don't really know how, if it would be more cringy in English, but I loved it. I'm not gonna lie. When I finished it, I was really craving reading the following ones, like New Moon and Eclipse and everything, but I just couldn't be bothered going to the store and buying a new copy, and I did not find a secondhand copy. And now my vampire hype is over. So I think that's where we're going to keep it. Anyway, that was a little, my little Delulu moment. Another book that I adore, which was actually assigned by my lecturer last year for my, I think it was my creative writing course. I think it was a creative writing course. It's this beautiful book that I've been seeing online, that I've been seeing people talking about, and that makes me so happy, because I think that this book should be read by absolutely everybody as well. It's called Braiding Sweetgrass, and it says Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teaching of Plants by Robin Wall Klimmerer, and it's an amazing read. It just ignites hope, and the way that she writes about nature, her relationship with it, and all the learnings and teachings is truly beautiful and inspiring. It just kind of makes you want to go outside, sit in the grass, and read for hours. And it's so full of wisdom. It's really lighthearted, but full of beautiful reflections and insights, especially from the Indigenous perspective, which we all need to learn more from. And there's always so many takeaways, especially right now in this world we're living in. So Braiding Sweetgrass, amazing read. Next, we have one of my top favorites, I think ever, which is Bonjour Tristesse by Françoise Sagan. Françoise Sagan. Honestly, such a beautiful book. I found this in the summer in Dublin. I was, this was one of those moments when like serendipity happens, you know. I was at the bookstore, and secondhand bookstore, it was like a record store and a bookstore, and I was kind of looking for something for my summer read, sort of. I was like looking for something digestible, easy to read, but also I don't know, I don't really know if I knew that I wanted to find something like this, but when I found this, it was kind of like already on my radar, like I wanted to read it, but I just never saw it brand new. I know that this is probably dumb to say because it's one of the classics, I think. When I saw Bonjour Tristesse, this copy, I was so, so excited. It's kind of like almost falling apart, and the guy just gave it to me for like €1 or something, which was even more incredible. And I read this on the way back from Dublin to the US, and it was amazing. It was truly incredible read. It's so short as well. It's written from the perspective of a young girl, of like a teenager. So it's kind of like a coming of age, and it's so incredible. It's honestly so incredible. It's somewhat full of wisdom to some point. Like I think it's very insightful, and it's such an easy read, and I think it's a classic. I was talking to one of my friends in Paris about this book, because he works at this literary cafe, and he was like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I had never talked to somebody about Bonjour Tristesse. Like, it's not really that read nowadays in our generation. And I'm like, how come it's not read in our generation? I feel like it's kind of like still a classic, no? Like, I was pretty unaware that it's probably not that talked about in our generation. But honestly, amazing book. And Penguin Books has a really cute push. How do you say, a little cute pocket edition. So Bonjour Tristesse, amazing. Then we have my latest find.
which is called Vagina Obscura by Rachel E. Gross. And it's an anatomical voyage, and it just looks incredible. Okay, I found it a couple weeks ago and at a secondhand store, but it's new. I don't know how that works sometimes, how secondhand shops sell a few copies of like brand new books, which is cool. Sometimes it's slightly cheaper, sometimes it's the same price. I don't really know how that works, but I found this book and I've started reading it, and so far it's incredible. It's so amazing. I really love science books, mostly, but this one feels kind of like an odyssey with a science twist, but at the end of the day, still kind of being like an anatomical voyage. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, more widely, because I have not finished it, but so far I've been loving this book, and I think it could be a great gift. The cover is also so beautiful. It's got such a beautiful art cover, which I'm also a sucker for. So, Vagina Obscura, amazing title, amazing book cover, and such a fun concept, such a fun and educational and iconic concept. Next we have the collections, the essay collections of Jean Didion, The White Album, and that one I also knew from one of my courses at university. And I remember I read one of the essays, because it's a collection of a bunch of essays, and I came across one of them. It was actually The White Album, the essay called The White Album, just like the title of the book, and I absolutely loved it. I would love to write like Joan Didion. I think many of us would love to write like her. She is a literary icon, and her prose is incredible. You know, just like all the elements that she blends into her writing feel like a scrapbook of different elements and different like textures and moods and sounds and images. And it's truly entertaining, but also she kind of like situates the reader in like a time and space that, I mean, I was not alive in the 60s, but she kind of makes it feel like I know exactly what she's talking about and what it looks like. So it's truly one of those books that make you travel, and yeah, and just, it's honestly a really great example of incredible, impeccable, extraordinary writing. So The White Album, amazing book as well. And I have a really beautiful copy with also very satisfactory and beautiful art cover. Next, we have another collection of essays called In the Kitchen, Essays on Food and Life by, oh, it's just a collection. So it's many different authors. But it's called In the Kitchen, also beautiful art cover. I think that's honestly what attracted me to this book. I've been fascinated with essays for a couple of years since I, honestly, also from uni, when I started writing essays, from personal essays to kind of like more like, yeah, essays on like anything. I also got into writing essays about food, essays about traveling. I just have been enjoying reading essays so, so much for the experience, but also to learn how to be a better writer, I guess. But this book is so beautiful. It's a collection of, I think, 12, 15 authors, 15 writers on like kitchen-related, like food kitchen-related experiences that blend beautifully with like times of the lives and experiences, and full of like insight, wisdom. It's so beautiful and so lighthearted, but also, yeah, it just kind of, it's pretty satisfactory when you reach the end and you're just like, that was like really good, or yeah, it just kind of makes you think of things in a very different way. So I've been loving this collection of essays for kind of like the read, the book that I go through when I wake up or before I go to sleep. It's one of those reads that just make you feel also better and make you feel good and give you peace and calm. And yeah, I
yeah, this collection is definitely, could definitely be a great gift for somebody who loves cooking and loves or appreciates food and has like this like special connection to food like I do, which I think we all have, but we have not noticed. And this book kind of like draws awareness to that, to how cooking is an act. Cooking and eating are an act of, they're quite profound and they're quite, I think they relate to many things in life, easy and complex and in between. So In the Kitchen, Essays on Food and Life, also an amazing read. Next we have Devotion by Patti Smith. Just Kids by Patti Smith was one of my top reads from 2021/2022. It's such a fun book, and I think some people don't really love her writing style. I personally do really, I think she's a great storyteller, and I think she's a natural writer. So I do enjoy her books. I understand that some people don't. She has quite a few out, but the one that I've enjoyed most recently has been this collection, this kind of like, it's like in an essay form. Devotion, Why I Write. It's such an easy read. It's also really insightful, and she also feels like it's a scrapbook as well. There's so many elements, visual and literary elements, and it's also in this small kind of pocket edition. So it's really cool. I really love Patti Smith, so I think I'm quite biased on this one. But Why I Write Devotion, Why I Write. It's a really nice read. Also, Just Kids. I don't think it made it. I mean, I haven't read Just Kids again this year, but definitely Just Kids is one of my favorite books of hers as well, or my favorite memoirs, dare I say. Next we have Audre Lorde, The Master's Tools Will Never Dismantle the Master's House. And it's one of these like little penguin book collections. It's like really, really tiny. It's like 50 pages long. Also an easy read, very insightful, collection of essays, quite political. Political, touches on sexuality, power, the contents, here we go. Five different chapters. Poetry is not a luxury, uses of the erotic, The Master's Tool Will Never Dismantle it. The Master's House, it's one of the main essays. Uses of anger, women responding to racism, and learning from the 1960s. So once again, Audre Lorde is an author who, even if you were not alive in the 60s, you feel like you are in there, because her prose is incredible, and the elements that she incorporates just paint the whole picture, and it's really entertaining, but also it's quite loaded with a lot of really dense subjects. But yeah, it's a really short read and it's quite cute. I love penguin books, and that edition is really cute, the tiny ones. Next we got this one that is, yeah, I bought it a few years ago and I started reading it then I stopped, and then I picked it up again a few months ago and I just loved it. And it's called Tuesday Nights in 1980 by Molly Prentice. Honestly, such a fun novel. It's so much fun. It's kind of like this New York City, this like artistic circle in New York City in the 80s, and kind of like simultaneously jumps back and forth between Buenos Aires, New York. Then you connect kind of like how Buenos Aires links into the story, you know. Some of the characters are immigrants, so like they go to New York, but there's always this kind of like connection with Argentina, and it's such a fascinating read. It's kind of heartbreaking as well, but it's so much fun. It's truly so much fun. It feels like, it kind of gives me the vibe of like Just Kids by Patti Smith. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, like, of course, way later, but it's like, you know, like the nights out and about of the avant-garde scene in New York, you know, artists and musicians and the whole interdisciplinary world of the arts in New York City. It's so colorful. I feel, yeah, it's just a really colorful read, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I just love every book that talks about New York back in the day, just because it makes me feel like I have nostalgia for a place that I never met, never lived in. But yeah, Tuesday Nights in the 1980s by Molly Prentice, an amazing read as well. Next, we have this book that is kind of like three different stories in one. So it's the same setting, but different stories, different characters. And it's such a lovely read. It's really easy to go through, but the prose is beautiful. And yeah, it just kind of made me want to go to Japan and just sit in this cafe and enjoy. So it's called Before the Coffee Gets Cold by Toshikazu Kawaguchi. Before the Coffee Gets Cold, it's not really long. So it was kind of like my summer read. Summer as in like January in New Zealand, camping. So I brought it with me, and it's a really special book. One of my friends from one of my writing courses kind of recommended it to me, and I bought it, and only a few months after I started reading it. And yeah, it's lighthearted as well, but really beautiful and very entertaining. And I really loved the concept of having three different stories. I think it's three or four different stories, different characters. You know, there's a beginning and there's an end multiple times, but it's in the same cafe, and the people who work at the cafe are the same people. So you kind of like get to know, have some more depth in some characters and some less in others. And it's, yeah, I just really enjoyed that form and that dynamic. It's something that I had not encountered a lot before. So it's a really great read. Light, fun, and just really easy to get hooked with. Next we have After Dark by Haruki Murakami. Murakami is one of the greats. There's multiple Murakamis in the literary world, but Haruki Murakami, he's incredible, and I really love his short stories. The After the Quake short stories, I remember I read for also like a uni paper or something, and I was just obsessed with like the symbolism and like the depth of like, and just how profound Eastern literature is, you know, like fiction. So it just made me really want to expand on the authors that I read, you know. Like initially I was like, oh, I just read male authors, and then I was like, oh, I just read like male Westerners, you know. And then I was like, okay, like I really want to expand to like honestly more like literature beyond the West. And yeah, as Westernized as they say Murakami has gotten, After Dark is a really fun concept for a series of stories. So yeah, also fun read. I would read it before nighttime, and I mean, it makes sense. It kind of makes sense to picture this whole thing at night. So also a really fun read. Then we have a book that I keep coming back to in multiple times, like in different times of my life, but I kind of always come back to it. It's by Julio Cortázar, and it's called Hopscotch. I read it in Spanish because, I mean, why wouldn't I? It's the original version. It's the original version, and it just hits harder in Spanish, I think. I have not tried it in English, and I did not know it existed in English until I recommended it to one of my lecturers, and he found it in English. I mean, he was like, oh yeah, there's a version that's translated and it's called Hopscotch. So this book is honestly just hits me in the feels. It's an amazing novel, kind of it's quite playful, it's quite profound, volatile, heartbreaking. There's two ways of reading this book. The first one, you read it as like a regular book from beginning to end. The end, if you choose this way of reading, ends by like in like maybe like 3/4 of the book. You know, there's a point where you're reading and it's like the end. The second way to read is following the suggested order. So it's like in disorder. The chapters are kind of like randomly placed. Randomly, not randomly. Should I say they're curated? They're curated in a way that kind of makes sense, but does not really, I don't know. You kind of like piece everything like a puzzle. And so this is the way in which some people start. And I remember I knew about this book when I was 15 or 16. I think I was 15. I was in eighth grade, I think. And I was already fascinated by literature. And I remember I was like learning more about proper books. And by proper books, I mean, like, I was reading The Fault in Our Stars. I was reading The Hunger Games. And at the same time at school, we were reading like Don Quixote, you know, or like more complex things. And I was like, oh, I think literature is like a big deal. You know what I mean? I was like, I kind of want to, yeah, like get deeper into it. So I remember my teacher, she mentioned this book and she was like, some people have gone like mad or insane trying to like decipher the book or read it or, you know, going or, you know, when they try to go through it, they just like lose their minds. And I was like, oh my God, what's this book? I need to find it. And so she was like, oh yeah, the book is Rayuela by Julio Cortázar. And we had been studying short stories by Julio Cortázar. I love short stories. So I kind of like knew him by name and by some of the stories that I read. And I got this book in 2015. I started reading it and I remember that I thought to myself, I'm just way too young to understand this, you know, full of like love affairs. And it lingers in between, funny enough, just like Tuesday nights in 1980, in between Buenos Aires and Paris in Paris. So there's also like this bridge between South America or Latin America and Europe, in this case, France. So I was truly fascinated by the concept and also just like the idea of reading a book in different order, having chapters kind of like all over the place. So this year I lived in Paris, and when I came back home, I went through it again after many years of having it collecting dust on my bookshelf. And it was honestly a spiritual experience. I truly, it kind of moves me a little bit thinking of when I was reading this book. I don't know if I had been to Paris already. Maybe not, maybe yes. I can't remember. But many of the places that they would talk about, I would just not really see them as anything particular or anything special. But now that I came back, that I had just like freshly come back from there, I saw places and like names of like the like street names and districts and everything. And I was like genuinely crying. I was just so emotional. I was like, oh my goodness, this is so, you know, kind of hits me on the feels. So amazing book. If you have been to Paris or if you have not been to Paris, you know, I think it's such a fascinating book. Cortázar is one of the best authors in Latin American literature. And this is surely a gem in any language it's been translated to. It's honestly such an incredible book. Very risque, in my opinion, but it's so gorgeous. And I love this book. And somebody told me that it's one of those books that keep gaining depth and keep gaining meaning the more, kind of like the more that you mature, and every single time that you come back to it, you kind of find more stuff and you find more understanding. So to me so far, it's been something that's happened, you know, from being 14, 15, reading it for the first time, to then being 17, 18, and then to now being 25. It's been such a different way of experiencing a single text. So truly fascinating, so compelling, and very gorgeous book, to say the least. Next, for one of my favorites of the year, like definitely top favorites, is Julia Fox's memoir, Down the Drain. And I do love Julia Fox, but I was not sure I was going to love her book. So I approached it with an open mind. an open heart. And I was honestly compelled and impressed. I have mixed feelings about celebrity memoirs, and yeah, I'm not really sure if I truly love them. I think some of them are quite, I mean, yeah, they're celebrities. They have good stories, I guess, some of them, but not all of them are good. However, Julia Fox's memoir is, I found, incredible. It's so compelling. It's so raw. It's so brutally honest. It's so heartbreaking. And I think it's also really brave to write about those things because she's fully deglamorizing, you know, growing up in New York, growing up with emotionally unavailable parents, being a rebel since she was so young. The use of drugs, alcohol, abusive relationships, you know, everything that she went through. You just want to hug her for the whole time. You just want to give her a hug. And it was the first book that I actually went through an audiobook. I'm not an audiobook girly. However, this was an incredible experience because the audiobook is narrated by her. So it was even more iconic, you know. I would go through it as I was driving, as I was painting or in bed, or yeah, I think that's kind of like the magic of audiobooks. But I do find her voice really soothing, so even in interviews and stuff, I was like, I could just listen to Julia like rant about whatever and I would just listen to her. I really like her voice. But yeah, the audiobook is really great because she's narrating everything. It's such a great mix. It's got incredible stories, you know, really, I mean, yeah, just like stories that you would listen to in Lana Del Rey songs or you would see in the movies or, you know, whatever. Just like, yeah, just like a wide range of different stories from like coming of age to like becoming a young woman to like reaching like celebrity status and having more attention and like the relationship one has with their bodies and like womanhood and femininity and sexuality and so many things. And I loved it so much. I think Down the Drain, it's a wonderful memoir. And yes, so the element of storytelling, it's got incredible stories, but also the way that she tells these stories is amazing. It's like really compelling. It's very well written. I did really enjoy Julia's style, her narrative. I think she's a great writer. And she, I mean, I'm not surprised after reading that she always wanted to be a writer. I think she says that when she was like in middle school or high school, that's everything she said she wanted to do. So I'm not surprised, or I would not be surprised to know that she had been working on this for a while, or she had been writing essays or, you know, just like things for herself for a bit, because she's got a really great style, I think. I really enjoyed it. So Julia Fox's Down the Drain definitely will make a great holiday gift, holiday book choice. Lastly, we have A Book About the Brain, which could not miss my list. I have been obsessed with books about the brain for ages now. And to be honest, like some reads, I think there's a really fine line between the self-help narrative sort of thing and, you know, books that kind of like bridge science with spirituality or personal growth. And yeah, like I think I've become a little bit more difficult to please with science books or with like self-help books, I think. But I do enjoy them sometimes. So like if they're really good, I will definitely always go through them and enjoy them. I think this one was a Christmas present from last year and I went through this year, and it's one of those books that you read with a highlighter on you. I know that some people might cringe so much or will lose their minds with the thought of highlighting your book, but with my science books, or you know, like kind of like really dense books like these, I do enjoy. Actually, I do love highlighting things and kind of going back to them and seeing everything that I highlighted before. So this is The Better Brain by Julia Rockledge and Bonnie Caplan. And it's on how nutrition will help you overcome anxiety, depression, ADHD, and stress. Does not sound really fun, but this was honestly kind of like my personal endeavor on trying to understand my own life. I think I have this fascination for, honestly, just kind of like with food, and then seeing the research, especially kind of like legit stuff and scientists talking about things that they are actually passionate about. It's honestly fascinating seeing how modern science is allowing us to, or is feeding into this mental health narrative in a very different way to what we commonly see or commonly listen to. You know, I think that this thing about utilizing nutrition as a way to heal rather than using meds is something quite revolutionary, but at the same time is kind of going back to ancestral roots. So I just honestly I'm just really passionate about learning how to enhance my mental health, because it's something that I do struggle with, I guess, just like everybody else. But yeah, this was a really interesting read. It was, it's digestible, you know, I enjoyed highlighting things and everything. Definitely dense, but it's a great book that you can go through whenever you want. You know, you can kind of like put it down and then put it up again, and I think you can easily catch on the book, and could be a really good gift for somebody who's interested or passionate about mental health or curious about making their brains better. I don't know, but yeah, this was some of my favorite reads of 2023. I'm pretty sure that when I edit this or when I put it out, I'm going to have so many flashbacks to other books that I read, and I will regret not adding them. Like, I'm so sure that I'm just gonna start getting more ideas. But yeah, I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. I really hope that if some of the books interested you, or you check them out and you liked them, please let me know. If you have any book recommendations, please send them through. I would be delighted to read your recommendations and see what you've been indulging in. And yeah, books are a great gift. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. We have upcoming workshops happening, so do make sure that you check those out and you join them, because 2024 is going to be, there's going to be more events like these, and I'm really, really interested in hearing from you, from my beautiful listeners, and yeah, just truly wishing you a happy rest of your holiday season. I'll see you very soon before the year ends. And yeah, sending lots of love and hope that the sun is shining, even if it's for a few minutes, wherever you are. Take care and see you soon.